Good morning. Thank you, Ms. Karen, for starting us in such a worshipful, beautiful playing of a hymn. And we're going to be thinking about that today. Be Thou My Vision. As we enter into this first part of the year, 2024, and letting the Lord be our guide. Scripture in the King James Version says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And what it's actually referring to is not just eyesight, but although you could make definitely a connection there, but it's talking about prophetic vision. In other words, preaching the word of God, Brother Joel, talking about you. And he's our pastor, and he's providing that prophetic vision that we so need as a people. And definitely put your seatbelts on today for the message that Brother Joel is starting off the year with. It's powerful. And it really sets the direction that our church needs for this year. And not this year, but every year. And really our country, our world, all the believers, this is so important. So I hope that you'll be ready to hear what God has for us. We're going to begin this time with prayer, the Lord's Prayer, that is. And so we're going to do a responsive reading. It's on page 645. But really, there's no need for you to turn there. It'll be up on the screen. And so let's begin. I'll be the worship leader. I've got a couple of choir members that have volunteered to be soloists on this. And then where it says everyone, I want everyone to participate in that as we'll be reading and quoting the Lord's Prayer together. But do more than just read it. Take it to heart. Use the Lord's Prayer as a model for praying throughout this year. It's directed to our Father, right? Holy is your name, or hallowed be your name. It's His name is set apart for worship. And then there's different elements of prayer that we use throughout that model prayer. So let's worship together as we do this responsive reading. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward.
But when you pray, go in your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly.
When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words.
Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him.
In this manner, therefore, let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Life and atonement. Thank you, Amy, for leading us in worship. We had a lot of guests in our early worship. I mean, a lot of guests, and several that I talked to were saying, we've heard about First Baptist Church, and we're just kind of glad to kind of be here to worship and meet some of you. And so it was really neat, and I'm assuming we have some guests here in the second worship service, too. Glad you're here. If you are a guest, on the far right-hand side of your bulletin, you will notice a QR code. You can hit that with your camera, and it'll take you to a visitor's card. You can fill that out for us. We would appreciate you doing that. Glad you're here. Take a few moments, walk around, welcome your friends. Good to have you this morning.
It all comes down to this, what you require of me. Love my neighbor as myself, and you above all things. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with you, God, in all things. It all comes down to this, to be your hands and feet. Good news to all the world, the truth will set us free. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with you. Beauty for ashes, it's mourning to dancing, it's closer and closer, the kingdom of heaven. It's beauty for ashes, it's mourning to dancing, it's closer and closer, the kingdom of heaven. And years from now, the fruit our hands have sown. Faith just like a seed, the only way it grows. Act justly, love mercy.
This time we're going to sing hymn number 562 as we kind of move forward with the thought that I began the service with, be thou my vision. Lord, we desire that you would be our vision as we enter in this year and as we seek to follow you with our whole heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
pray. Father, we're thankful for this day and the many wonderful blessings. Lord, we're just thankful we can start a new year off in your house. We pray for guidance, and we pray for people that are coming that need to make a decision. Lord, we pray you'll give them that courage to do so. Lord, we pray for all the sick folks. Goodness, in our Sunday school class alone this morning, several. We pray that they will be well soon, and you watch over and protect them. Bless this offering in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. What a way to begin 2024 in worship. Man, thank you, choir. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth. And I look forward to that day. Until that day, then there are some of us who bow, humbly bow to the Father now. We don't need to wait until that day when we recognize who Jesus is. We already know who Jesus is. But the world doesn't, so we've got issues. And Proverbs 3, verse 7 is one of the verses that I'm using today. Proverbs 16, verses 17 and 18. I said this morning, Proverbs 6, after it was over with, Rachel Brown came up to me. She said, "That's not what Proverbs 6 says." And I said, "You're right, because it's supposed to be Proverbs 16, not Proverbs 6. Sometimes I misspeak, and that is one of those times. And then I'll be also quoting and reading a little bit from Romans chapter 1 as well. Probably back in late August, and that's normally my pattern. 4, 5, 6 months before something is to happen, I start just kind of praying a real simple prayer. It's not, I don't feel like that I have to walk into the office one Monday morning and say, "Today is the day I will know exactly what I'm going to preach on in 2024. And I have to know, or tonight I will not be able to go to sleep." It's not that way at all. It's more like, "All right, Lord, I already know what I'm doing in the fall. I know where you've led me to the fall. I know where we're going in Advent. And I've already got all that kind of, you've already kind of led me to those places." So when we start 2024, what is it that you want me to preach? In essence, God, this is your house. This is your place. We worship you. These are your people. So what is it that you want to say to your people through me as your mouthpiece? And so at that point, it's just that simple. Lord, my ears are open. My eyes are open so I can hear and I can see. I can't tell you the amount of times that the Lord has led me to some kind of series just based on a simple conversation that I've had with one of you out in the hallway, asking me a question, and that leads me to an answer, and then that leads me to more scripture. And next thing you know, 6 months later, a whole series has been born. So, Lord, open my ears, let me hear. Open my eyes, let me see. So that we'll know where we're headed for 2024, and it's just that simple. Well, I started thinking about the fact that, so as we head into 2024, we are in what we as Americans call an election year. Interestingly, as I'm saying these words, I look out in the early worship, and there's Robert Aderholt, who is our representative, sitting in the early worship. And I'm talking about the fact that we've got an election year. He didn't know. He had no idea that we were. He was so glad to be here this morning because I was able to inform him that we're in an election year. He had no idea, being in Washington, D.C., that that was coming up. So it was good to see him. So we've got that coming up, and it's election year. And for those of you that might not know this, but it's going to get ugly, and it's going to get ugly fast. It's going to get real, real, real ugly, and it's going to be bad, and I know that. So I'm kind of thinking and praying along those lines. All right, Lord, I don't want to get so bogged down in the weeds over this thing, because I've had several conversations. One of our young ladies here at First Baptist Church, she said, "You know, there was a time when I got so bogged down into that. I got so bogged down, I was no longer a good wife. I was no longer a good mother. I was no longer a good Christian. I lost my vision on what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ because I got so bogged down in that." So how do we live in this world, live in this culture, are concerned about who we are, where we are, what we're doing? Those are all right and should be for who we are as followers of Jesus Christ and American citizens. But at the same time, how do we not lose our vision of who are we? The light of the gospel, the good news shines in us, and that's our mission no matter what we're going through. Well, so then I'm thinking about Russia and Ukraine. And I talk a little bit about that every now and then, you know. And the evil that is Vladimir Putin, and all with war. And then all of a sudden, as I'm kind of praying, and my ears are open, and my eyes are open, and then all of a sudden, we get to the 1st of October, and Hamas goes into Israel and just butchers and rapes and pillages and brutally murders, you know, thousands of people, takes hostages. And then, of all things, you look at the world, and that, even in the American culture, people applaud that. Yes, kill them all. And so you look at all that we've got, war here, war there. Election year coming up. I was telling this morning in the early worship, yesterday, Janice has gone out of town. Janice is helping her mother. They're going to redo the flooring in her mother's home. And so Janice and her sister are down there moving boxes and moving things out of the way. And so I'm at home on Saturday. I'm bored out of my mind. I'm reading stupid, silly stuff. But then I come across this one thing, and it's telling me about 14 pastors in Nigeria were brutally murdered. And it's okay. Now, everybody in this sanctuary knows good and well that those 14 pastors that were brutally murdered because they would not recant Jesus as Savior and Lord. No. You've got a chance. You've got an opportunity to live. All you've got to do is just say, Jesus is not Lord, that Allah is Lord, and you'll live. No. And they were brutally murdered. And the government is perfectly fine. Perfectly fine with it. Now, more than likely, you didn't even hear about that, because our news media doesn't really want to cover that. So, it's not just Russia and Ukraine and Israel and Hamas. No, it's Nigeria, it's Sudan, it's all over. Civil war in Africa is raging like you and I can't even begin to imagine. All over our world there's war and rumors of wars, the scripture teaches us. And then right here in our own backyard, here in our own American culture, it's nasty and it's evil and it's divisive, and it's more divisive than I've ever seen in my entire life. So, Lord, what's a good word for us in 2024? How about that? Instead of getting bogged down in all that and praying about all that, it should be, but as a follower of Jesus Christ, how can I not get so involved and bogged down in that and lose then what I've been called to be and called to do, and that is to shine the light of the gospel in the midst of darkness? For the gospel to pump in my heart and pump in my brain, and every single day being in front of the Father, worshiping Him and living for the light of the gospel. How do I do that? So over these first couple of Sundays of January, we're just going to talk about humility and wisdom, that are two virtues that are lost on the American public. But if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you know Christ as your Savior and Lord, then those are two virtues that we need to seek. Now, I'm not talking about cultural wisdom. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about fake humility that has a look about it. You look humble in front of your Sunday school class. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real humility, biblical humility before the Father, that leads then to biblical wisdom. So here's what this series is kind of based on. As a follower of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ is humble, not a look that you perfect for Sunday school class members. A follower of Jesus Christ is humble in that he or she realizes that sovereign God is indeed sovereign God, and that everything that I am, everything that I have, everything is a gift from God the Father to me as His child. Everything. My physical life, I'm 60 and a half years old, and I have physical life because God the Father gave it to me as a gift. money to pay bills, something to drive, a house to live in, a wife that loves me, children that love me, a church family that... some love me. What a blessing. What a gift. Every single day in my routine prayer, I'm thankful for my all of these gifts, but they're gifts. It's all a gift from God. The only thing I've ever earned and deserved is sin, death, and hell. That's all I've ever earned. And so everything is just God just showering, pouring out gift upon gift upon gift upon gift to me. So a true follower of Jesus Christ is humble in that he or she realizes that everything is a gift. God is sovereign. I'm not. Everything is a gift from him. Everything I am, everything I have, it's a gift from him. When that is understood, heart, mind, when we understand that, now we are on the road as a follower of Jesus Christ, because the base foundation is there. Now we are on the road to true biblical wisdom, real wisdom. King Solomon writes in Proverbs 3, verse 7, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Now, think about that, all the things that I've mentioned, Israel, Hamas, Russia, and Ukraine, Vladimir Putin. Think about all of the civil war in Africa. Think about all the divisive nature of our culture. Think about all that, and now hear King Solomon. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. There's the problem. What's the issue? What is the problem? Don't be impressed with your own wisdom, doing it your own way. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So I'm thinking to myself, what is the issue? What is the problem? And the issue and the problem is that it goes back to the Garden of Eden. It goes back to Adam and Eve. The problem is it goes back to the Tower of Babel. We want to do this our way. We want to receive all the praise. We want all of the glory. We want to be in charge of our own lives. And there's the problem. There, right there, is the issue. You know, we now live in a digitally dependent age. Information comes at us constantly from every direction, and it is fast. It is just like that. Never before in the history of our world have we had access to so much information that quickly. I mean, never, ever in our history as humanity have we had access to this kind of information at breakneck speed. We all have in our hands these little things called, we call them cell phones, but they're not cell phones. This is a computer, all right? That's what this is. Now, if in the early worship I had to say it like this. If you're my age, in this worship service, I don't even have to say that because y'all are all old. Y'all are all older than me, just about. So y'all remember the day and time when the cell phone came out. They were car phones. And they were in a big bag in a car. I remember driving my brother-in-law's Lexus in Birmingham. And he had a big bag in there. And there was a cell phone in it. And I didn't know how to use it. I wanted to call Janice so bad. Janice was at home in Florida. I wanted to call her on the home phone and say, guess what I'm doing? I couldn't figure out how to do it. There were cell phones. You couldn't look anything up. You didn't have any apps. You couldn't text. It was just a phone. People called you. You called them. That's all it was. I'm also old enough to remember when personal computers came out. My best friend, we were in seminary, my best friend's father-in-law bought him a home computer, had floppy disks. Remember the floppy disks? See, you people all remember that stuff. And I remember when the first home computers came out. And the first computer that I had in my office at Northside Baptist Church, I can still remember all that. Well, now, some 30 years later, it's all right here. It's all in my pocket. On a little thing called a cell phone. Better than that first computer, much better. Better than those first cell phones. They're just right here. We have all this information right here at our fingertips at breakneck speed. This morning, I don't have my cell phone on, not because of the obvious reason, afraid that somebody's going to... I never have my cell phone with me. My cell phone always stays in my office. But today, just for today, I'm using it as an illustration. But I don't have it turned on, not for the obvious reason that I'm afraid somebody's going to call. But years ago when I was preaching, I thought I'm going to be the cool new preacher and bring in my iPad instead of a paper version. So I had my iPad with me in the early worship. And I'm a part of this group that I call the idiots. And there are 12 of us. We get together two or three times a year. We're old fraternity brothers. And these guys are very successful on their own, away from each other, but when we all get together, it's like we're five again. And so we have this text chain, and all of a sudden, one of the friends, the idiots, was scrolling through Facebook and saw, oh, Sammy's about to preach. And then he said, oh, no, Sammy's got his iPad with him, and sent out a text to all of the rest of the group, Sammy's got his iPad with him, and I barely could get through the sermon. It was on... I mean, it was on, and they were texting and texting and texting, and I couldn't hardly get through the sermon. Every time I looked down to the next point, they would all have something that they were texting. And it wasn't appropriate for church, by the way. So I can't have this on for fear that one of them would be scrolling and see that, oh no, Sammy's got his cell phone. Well, then I'd have to shut the thing up and forget that I was even preaching a sermon. But I said to the early worship, I said, all right, y'all get out your cell phones. Let's see just how fast we can gain this information. I said, who was the last czar of Russia? Owen Ewing was coming unglued right over there. He couldn't get out of his seat fast. Nicholas II, you're right. I said, now somebody go to their calculator app. And I said, what is 725 times 17? 12,325. I said, do you know how long it would take me with my math skills? Do you know how long it would take me to figure that out without a calculator? Lord have mercy, I'd be 17, 20. It'd take me forever to figure all that out. Science. What is the hardest natural substance on earth? A diamond. It was that quick. All three answers. Boom, boom, boom. We have access to whatever information that we want, that quick. Breakneck speed. And yet, we are dumber than we have ever been in the history of mankind. I didn't say this in the early worship because I didn't want to offend Robert. But I'll say it to y'all because he's gone. Sometimes I look at Janice, God love her little heart that she has to live with me. Sometimes I look at Janice and I say, it seems to me impossible that our elected officials could be that stupid. And yet they are. Now, if you put them in front of a SAT or a ACT, they would score, blow it out of the water. I'm not talking today about being smart. I'm talking about being biblically wise. It often seems that there are many who don't even see wisdom as something that they should even possess, biblical wisdom, that is. In many respects, Western culture has ignored biblical wisdom so much so that the words even almost completely disappeared from our vocabulary. We live in a culture that rebels against biblical wisdom and revels in the foolishness of the elementary, so much so that we've dumbed ourselves down with all of this information. We don't know anything. David Jeremiah says, part of the problem is the idea that knowledge equals understanding and that understanding equals wisdom. Shortcuts such as a web search or echoing the perspective of a social media guru or celebrities provide superficial knowledge that often satisfies people today. This is not only a problem in the world, it's a problem in the body of Christ. Thus, we must patiently teach God's people that knowledge comes from gaining information through listening and watching and study and experience. But knowledge is not an end in itself. We gain knowledge so that we might process and interpret it based on our values and our principles and our beliefs, the gospel, that is. In this way, we will grow in our understanding of that knowledge and how it affects, informs, and applies to our lives. Wisdom follows on understanding as we rightly discern how to apply our understanding to make right decisions. Biblical wisdom and biblical discernment are close companions, although we can distinguish them. We cannot ultimately separate them. Moreover, discernment is not only, and I want you to hear this line, because this hit me like a cold slap in the face. Discernment is not only the ability to choose right from wrong. It is the ability to choose right from almost right. Did you hear that? It's not, biblical discernment is not just the ability to be able to choose right from wrong. In every situation, there's right and there's wrong. There's biblical right and then there's wrong. No, it's the ability to be able to choose what is right from what is almost right. Similarly, one of the closest companions to wisdom, a companion without which true wisdom cannot exist, is humility. The virtue whereby we recognize that we lack what only God can give, and we must acquire it. So to gain wisdom, we have to first realize that we need it. King Solomon says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. He says in chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, the path of the virtuous leads away from evil. Whoever follows that path is safe. Pride goes before destruction and haughtiness goes before the fall. That is, the Tower of Babel, we do this our way. I'm in charge. We want the praise. We want the glory. Look what we've done. Sounds about right in our world, doesn't it? That will always lead to destruction and fall. The idea that the human mind and in all of its intellect and reason is independently capable of reaching a true understanding of reality without any dependence on God and His revelation is arrogant, it is evil, and it will always, 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 100% of the time will always lead to a fall. Pride, then, is the enemy not only of humility, but of wisdom. And our culture pridefully revels in foolishness, for their foolish hearts are darkened. Paul teaches us in Romans chapter 1. Paul, in this greatest theological work in the history of humanity, Paul starts out basically, and this is my translation, but Paul starts out in Romans chapter 1 by basically saying this: everyone, everybody, believes there is a God. Everybody knows there is a God. King Solomon in Ecclesiastes says it this way, that God has placed eternity in our hearts. Paul says it this way, everybody knows that there is a God. Now, I've only about gotten into two fights since I've been your pastor. One was in counseling with a guy, and it led to his anger. And I thought, oh, my Lord, Barbara Young is going to come flying in here. Back when she was the secretary, she's going to come flying in here, and me and this guy are going to be going at it across the table, my desk. But we didn't. end up fighting. But then the second time I almost got into a fight was in an argument that I had with two atheists. Because here's what I said that made them so angry. We don't have atheists at First Baptist Church that we know of. But if we did and they were in a corner, once I said this, they would charge the stage, get me down, and choke me out. Because they hate hearing truth. But I said to these atheists, I said, Paul says in Romans chapter 1 that everybody knows that there is a God. So you atheists claim to be atheists, but you know there is a God. Oh my goodness, you would have thought that I pulled a gun on them. I mean, they were ready to kill me. And then finally I looked at them, and this is what made them so mad. I said, oh, you know that there's a God. You just hate the God that you know exists. Yes. You know there's a God. You just hate Him because He's not like you. And you want to justify your sinfulness by making, if there is a God, making Him be like you. And if He's not like you, if He's like the one in Scripture, which He is, then I hate Him. Oh, they know there's a God. Everybody knows there's God. 90% of the world just hates the God they know exists. And thus, Russia and Ukraine, Hamas and Israel, Africa, America. And there you have it. Paul says in Romans 1:21, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. Now, let me read that one more time and you think about all those things that I've just mentioned. Yes, they knew God. Paul tells us everybody knows that there's God. And they knew Him. But they wouldn't worship Him as sovereign God of the universe. Because like the Tower of Babel, I want to do it my way. I want the praise. They wouldn't even give Him thanks for who He is and what He's given. Humility. And then they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. Now that, if you've never heard the truth or claim of Scripture, you just heard it. That is spot on. Paul wrote that 2,000 years ago to the church at Rome. It couldn't be more true than it is today. But for believers, our path is humility. And then that humility will lead to wisdom and ultimately to praise before God the Father. God is the giver of all life. Everything in it, everything I am, everything I have is a gift from God. And that truth, that foundational truth, then leads to biblical wisdom. And God and God alone will be praised. And that biblical attitude for 2024 is what I'm seeking. As we head into the beginning of this year with all that's going on, Lord, I want to be humble before You. And with that humility, guide me to wisdom. Guide me to truth. So that I can live the light of the gospel in a world that is dark. Father, thank You for that good word to us today. Thank You for Your truth. Thank You, Father, that we know You are God. We worship You. We humble ourselves before You. And with that humility, now our minds, our hearts are on the right path to real wisdom, biblical wisdom, true wisdom. Thank You, Father, for that. That is the gospel. That's good news. May we live that gospel good news in a world that is in desperate need. In Christ we pray. Amen. Our invitation is I surrender all. If you've never trusted Christ, then we encourage you today to trust Him as your Savior and Lord. Right here at the beginning of this brand new year, if you've never trusted Jesus, we ask you to do that today. If you need to come and pray, join our church, whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that as we stand, as we sing. please be seated. First of all, we have Randy and Anita Godwin. They are coming today, and they know Jesus as Savior and Lord, have followed Christ in believers' baptism, been part of First Baptist Church for some time now, and have decided that, okay, this officially is where we know that the Lord is leading us to worship and serve Him right here at First Baptist Church. So I know that you're thrilled for the Godwins to come to be a part of First Baptist Church. All of you that are in favor, seeing nobody opposed to the Godwins coming, you make sure that when we're done here in just a few moments, that you say a word of encouragement to them as they come to be a part of First Baptist Church. So we're grateful, thankful that y'all are here at First Baptist now. All right, what do we got? First of all, Koinonia next Sunday night, January 14, 6 p.m., ladies in the fellowship hall. For more information, you can see Rachel Gilmore, and she'll give you more information on Koinonia. All right. Winter Bible study coming up with our senior adults, January 22nd, 23rd, 24, 9 to 11 a.m. Richard Mobies, Mark Sheffer will be the teachers, and so that's always a great Bible study for our seniors, okay? And WMU monthly meeting is this Thursday in the fellowship hall, 10 a.m. Billy Spann will be talking about Ukraine. We talked about that today. She'll be talking about ministry to the Ukrainian people, all right? Tonight, we have a deacon ordination. So one of our young men, Taft Reeves, was elected deacon. Taft and Katie will be ordaining Taft tonight here at the front. And so at 6 o'clock, we'll have a short little time of worship. We'll talk about the deacon ministry like we always do. And then we'll have the laying on of hands and ordaining of Taft into the to the deacon ministry. So I encourage you to come back, be a part of that celebration and the deacon ordination of Taft Reeves here at First Baptist Church. We've almost made our goal for Lottie Moon. We're about $2,000 or $3,000 short of our $59,000 goal. So if you haven't given, please make sure that you do so so we can make that we get to our goal. Okay, thank you. All right, let's all stand. Come say a word of encouragement to the Godwins. Let's all stand and close by singing, "To God Be the Glory." Thank you.